Counterspin Media's Truthathon Part 14 is where Dr. Sucharit Bhakdi calls out the New Zealand government and authorities as criminals.
The New World Order symbolizes the latest manifestation of darkness, epitomized by the Great Reset. However, humanity's great awakening signals our united stand against this malevolence. And now, Counterspin Media is unveiling the Great Awakening and resisting the Great Reset in this 12-hour truthathon titled Conquering Darkness, heralding humanity's triumph over the New World Order.
My name is Sucharit Bhakdi. I'm a physician and scientist. This magic bullet, the jab, is supposed to cause your immune system to explode into action and combat the virus. We have always had deep concern that this explosion would set off chain reactions leading to formation of blood clots in your vessels. Clots that no one can see, but they can feel. If the clots form in your brain, you have splitting headaches, nausea, vomiting, paralysis, so many things that so many people have been reporting. How to find out? You see, there's a lab determination, the D-dimers, that if they go up in your blood, it is proof that clot formation has taken place in your vessels. Now, a number of German doctors have been measuring the D-dimers in the blood of patients before vaccination and days after vaccination, irrespective of symptoms. And they have just found out that triggering of clot formation is a very common event with all vaccines, meaning that when you take this jab, you are allowing your body, you are triggering a reaction that is potentially lethal. Therefore, I strongly advise people not to get the shot. If you want to, as an adult, you may, but you must realize that you are undergoing a threat. Do not give the shot to children, because they are absolutely without any possibility of defending themselves. If you give that jab to your child, you are committing a crime.
And we are now joined by the good doctor himself, Dr. Sucharit Bhakdi. He needs no introduction to many of you, but hopefully we've got some new viewers in the audience and you'll be really fascinated to hear what this man has to say. I'll just give you a quick bio. He is a retired Thai German microbiologist. In 2020 and 2021, Bhakdi became a prominent source of truth about the COVID-19 pandemic, claiming that the pandemic was fake and that COVID-19 vaccines were going to decimate the world's population. And as you heard in that that clip there, he obviously says it's also a crime. So we look forward to talking more about that. He was a professor at the University of Mainz, where he was the head of the Institute of Medical Microbiology and Hygiene. The university has disassociated itself from Bhakdi's views on the coronavirus scamdemic, let's call it what it is. In 2021, Bhakdi's publisher also broke off relations following the appearance of an online video of which Bhakdi made, and of course he gets labelled anti-Semitic like so many of us. But we know that that's basically code word for this man's telling the truth, and we need to start listening to him. So without further ado, let's bring the man on himself and welcome to the show, Dr. Bhakdi. And if you could maybe, if there's anything else that you would like to say about your bio or any other key points of your history that you might like to tell the audience about.
Well, hello, New Zealand. I am so pleased to be here with you. I've never been to New Zealand. I have been to Australia. It's been my wish to go to New Zealand for many reasons. However, this wish is now dispelled and I will not be coming in my life to you. And this is because of your government and because of your authorities, who in my eyes are criminals and have been criminals, have been in league with those people centered in America. All of this comes from America and England.
I hope that one day you will realize that this whole agenda was thought up, created by Anglo-Americans 30 years ago. 30 years ago. It's all planned. It's a planned crime of such gigantic dimensions that you cannot express these in words. And you, dear New Zealand, are the prey of the predators. Now, all of this was clear to me and my wife, Karina, from the very start. That was in March 2020, when we stood up and tried to call out to the German populace and the German-speaking populace that we were being led to hell. That's why I was retired. I've been teaching this, you know, infectious diseases and immunology. I taught this for 40 years. I'm retired. I've been retired for 12 years now, 12 whole years. So, you know, when you're going on 78, which I am, I think that one knows about things. And I understand this subject. Our department was one of the biggest departments for medical microbiology and hygiene in Europe. So there were 100 people working in our institute every day. And they were not only microbiologists, the virologists were there, the immunologists were there, the vaccine center of Mainz was in the institute that I led for 30 years. So I think I know what I'm talking about. I really think so. And I was also in the vaccination center, vaccinating people. I am not an anti-vax. I have taught all my life that the important vaccines that work have been a great advance to medicine. Now, before we go into detail, let me tell you something. This whole vaccination agenda has been going on for 180 years. Why do I say this so explicitly? Because it started in 1853 when England, you know, New Zealand, you weren't existed at that time. But it was the English government with the English medical industry, I have to say so, 1853, that implemented the smallpox vaccine in England. And in England, you were bound to be vaccinated against smallpox. If you refused to, in the end, you were taken to prison. Your children were taken away from you.
Wow.
And this was taken over by America soon afterward. So that in the beginning of the 20th century, 1910, 1920, the greatest crime against the society were performed in the name of the smallpox vaccine. Children were taken away from their parents. The parents were fined or put in jail if they refused to have their children vaccinated. Exactly what happened and what is happening to you, New Zealand, 100 years later. And my dear fellow world citizens, the smallpox vaccine was the first big fake in medicine because the smallpox vaccine never worked, has never been shown to work, never worked. It was a fake and was maiming and killing children as the COVID vaccine has maimed and killed you and your beloved ones. You know, this is something that is so atrocious, so horrible, and so unbelievable that I have decided to come out and say this in the open. Because I challenge anyone to come up and show me that what I've been saying is not true. So the vaccinations that were told, the world was told, because of this vaccination, we have conquered smallpox. And therefore, vaccinations are going to save the world. This is just a simple, the greatest lie, the untruth in modern medicine. And it marked the beginning of the downfall of modern medicine. Now, hear me. 30 years later, it was 1885, I believe, or 1886. The first vaccinations were created by a German. He was Emil von Behring, a student of Robert Koch. And what he showed was that you can really vaccinate against deadly diseases. What were the two deadly diseases? They were diphtheria, tetanus, bacterial. Okay. And with that discovery, it opened the way for the world to understand that you can vaccinate against deadly, dangerous, and lethal infection diseases. You know, diphtheria killed every seventh child in the Western world. Why? Because the bacteria got into your throat, made a poison that is really deadly, dangerous, and that went into the blood, disseminated in the blood, and killed the poor children. So what Behring showed was that if you immunize these children or adults so that they would make antibodies that would be in the blood, and when the poison was in the blood would grasp the poison and stop it from entering your cells, you would be saved. And it works. Then he showed with the Japanese scientist who also became world famous, Kitazaku, that the tetanus bacterium also made a poison that would go into the body and go to your nervous system and kill you. And if you had antibodies, these antibodies would grasp and hold on to these poisons and stop the poison from entering your nervous system. And it works. So 30 years after the fake vaccine was made, the real vaccines were made. And they caused a wave. It was not a tsunami. It was a really wave of enthusiasm, which was well-founded, because these vaccines really work. Now, what you really have to realize is that an antibody, very small, it's a protein. And this protein, if another one comes, like a poison, it can catch it, clasp it, and inhibit this protein from going further. This is the essence of antibody-mediated protection. But the fact is that this only works if that lethal substance, like a bacterial poison, is in the blood. Because the antibodies that you make after you are vaccinated are mainly in the bloodstream. So if something is in the bloodstream, it can be halted and stopped, like the bacterial poison. Now, my dear fellow citizens, there are very, very few bacterial poisons that can kill you. Diphtheria and tetanus are two, and there's hardly any other one. So, what does this mean? It means that the possibilities of protecting against bacterial infections is very, very small, because if a bacterium comes into your blood and causes septicemia, which will cause death in people in the hospital, wound infections after operations, etc., etc., etc. If those bacteria get into your bloodstream, you can become very, very ill. But can an antibody stop a bacterium? Question. Answer, never, ever. Because if this is a poison and this is the antibody, then a bacterium that gets into your blood is about 10, 100, a million times bigger than this. It's as big as the room here. And if anyone thinks that clasping the wall of the room will stop the room from moving in the body, sorry, you are ignorant. There is no antibody that can stop a bacterium, so forget it. I'm telling you this because I know that the World Health Organization, all these guys have been planning these pandemics, are now going for bacteria and saying you have to get immunized against bacteria so that these bacteria are not going to kill you. They are leading you to your doom. Don't believe me. Now, what about viruses? Viruses enter the body in the main, 99% in the Western world, through the nose or mouth, and they go to the lung or they go to the intestines. So that's why, you know, a child who goes to the kindergarten in his first year, he gets his cough and his cold every few weeks. These are common cold viruses. They get in there, especially if another child coughs at him and a large amount of viruses go into the nose, go into the throat. He gets a sore throat. He gets a cough because it goes down a little bit further. May get some fever, but that child will not die. No child dies because of a common cold. Got it? You know, my mother was one of the first doctors in Thailand who studied abroad. She graduated from Johns Hopkins. And I followed her all my life, as a boy, because she was taking care of children. And one of her favorite things was to me, he is not going to die. And you are also not going to die if you have a cold. So don't make a fuss about it. It's normal. It's normal. And if you eat something and you get a bad tummy and you have diarrhea, you are not going to die. It's normal. Don't worry, because these viruses that go into your lung or throat or intestine, tummy, do not enter the bloodstream. They don't. And if they do, you will be making antibodies that can intercept them so that they don't go further. Now, there are very few viruses, very, very few viruses, that go from the lung into the bloodstream in quantity, in quantities. You know, Newton said, if you cannot measure quantities, you can't do science. Science depends on quantifying. And you, New Zealand, you go and ask your authorities for the quantities. Where are the numbers? They have no numbers. They just have computer created illusion, that are all wrong and have are now proven to have been wrong. So the fact is that if you eat something and you have diarrhea, that virus is not going to leave the intestinal tract and go into the bloodstream in gigantic numbers. It cannot. There is one virus that potentially can do this, and this is polio. So you eat something that has polio, that polio virus may enter the bloodstream and you may get polio. But it's virtually the only virus that can do this. So the vaccination against polio may work, Whether it does work or not, we do not know. Why? Because in the case of viruses, all right, you have, here's a virus. It's bigger than a poison. And it has spikes, or it has something with which it will grab hold to the door of your cell, open it, and then go in. If you have antibodies against polio, these antibodies may bind and stop this hand from opening the door to the cell. This is what all those freaks and all those fakes have been telling you, a protective antibody that you must have to protect yourself from COVID. What a mess. How can anyone say this? First of all, it's a question of numbers. How much do you have? How many viruses do you want to take care of? In the case of COVID and viruses that enter through the nose, the numbers are so small. Just forget it. Those numbers of viruses that make it to the bloodstream are so small. And if you don't believe me, you go and ask your expert, your government, your prime minister. I don't know what he or she, what's her name, but I can't stand listening to these guys. They know nothing and they're lying to you. Lying, lying, lying.
Absolutely.
The fact is that these respiratory viruses come in through the nose, they go to the throat, and maybe once in a while, once in a long, long, long while, to the lung. But the antibodies that you are making through the vaccination are in the blood. My God, it's like, you know, I'm sitting in this room. This is the bloodstream. But the virus comes in the front door. It goes into the hall, into the corridor, you know. It's not here. You can't do anything with the antibodies here. That is why what has now been officially released to everyone in the world, it is known that vaccination cannot stop the virus getting into the front door. It cannot stop infection. So your politicians and your health authorities have been lying all the time.
Yeah.
You cannot stop a virus from getting through the front door with antibodies that are in the bloodstream. Is this so difficult? Is this so difficult? I can't understand that people in New Zealand don't understand this. You've been lying.
We actually got, there was just weeks and months of sustained propaganda from everyone who they trotted out on the TV to say they're an expert at something. We had Michael Baker, with Susie Wiles, Sean Hendy, and every other freak who thought they were an expert telling everyone they have to get jabbed. It's the only way to stop transmission. It's the only way, you know, if you get this, you can't pass it on. It won't kill you and all that. And you've just right there destroyed that entire premise of which they based all their rhetoric on. It's concerning as well with the new pandemic treaty coming up that the World Health Organization, and they're saying there's going to be another pandemic. Like you say, these are all planned and advanced. And it's almost like a repeated cull of the human population. And I noticed I was reading through your article, Why RNA Vaccines Are Fraudulent and Deadly Dangerous. And you call these people criminals. And just like you said there, they are in league with each other, and it's a fraud. And they are, it's democide if a government's, you know, forcing people, because over here people were coerced with their jobs, job losses, livelihood gone, all because they refused to take this experimental shot. What's your position on that? Do you believe and stand by your remarks, like I have, that these people are a criminal syndicate and they are depopulating or doing a mass cull of people?
Absolutely. And it is now completely clear. So let me take you through six slides, just six. And I will explain to you why the time has come, the walrus said, speak of many things. The time has now come. New Zealand, Australia, all those guys down there. All right? Because now the truth has come out. And you must realize that you have the chance of your lifetime to stop this criminal madness. They're crazy. They are crazy. And they just are power mad and wealth. You know, it's money and power that is propelling them to their action so inhuman, so inhuman, and that are going to take them to hell. So let me try to explain now why the time has come. So may I have the first slide? Now, you know that our chromosomes are made of DNA on the left. They are the books of life. So when you need a recipe out of this book, the book is opened in your nucleus, and then a copy is made. This copy is RNA. And this copy goes out of the nucleus into the cell cytosol, where it organizes the creation of the product, which is a protein. And so if I make an RNA, I make something that is created, and what I have made is put on the windowsill for inspection by my body. And outside, we have an immune system, which are sentinels, which are looking to see what the cell, this room, has made, okay? If this product is my own, coming from my own chromosome, it is accepted, and so it be. And shortly after that, the RNA is ripped up and tossed away, so the next recipe can come for the next protein. Now, these new gene-based RNA vaccines are RNAs that have been made from DNA. And this has never been done before, because if you make a vaccine against, excuse me, tetanus or the diphtheria, you make the protein, which is the poison. And this poison is made poisonless because you inactivate the protein. That's what Behring did, okay? Then you can inject that protein into your body, and you make antibodies against the protein, which will stop the protein from killing you in the bloodstream. Now, the grave basic difference is that these vaccine-based, these gene-based vaccines are RNA. This is Pfizer, this is Moderna, this is what you New Zealand guys have been getting, okay? They are not the proteins, but they are RNA derived from DNA. The question is, where did this DNA come from? Certainly not from your chromosomes, because we don't have the DNA for the spike protein, which is encoded by the RNA that is injected into your body to make the spike protein. So this is the brilliant thing about all this vaccine stuff, for which the Nobel Prize was awarded. Wow, Nobel Prize. What did they do? They found a method to make this RNA encoding for the spike protein from DNA to enwrap this, next slide please. This RNA was enwrapped in bubbles made of soap bubbles. But they're very stable, okay? Lipids, and these lipid bubbles you can see here are around the RNA, and these bubbles cannot be seen by your immune system. They cannot be seen. And when these bubbles enter your body, all these guys who have been lying to you said they will remain in the muscle. But of course it was a lie. A damn lie. How can you believe it? Every student of medicine knows in the first year that if you plunge something into your muscle, that is always going to go to your lymphatic system and the bloodstream. Always. You can't stop it. And for saying this, all of these guys should be taken to jail. Because what happened was, that the RNA enwrapped in these lipid nanoparticles, when anyone got a jab, even a child, he did not get one lipid nanoparticle with one RNA, he got billions. You know what a billion is? You sit down and start counting 1, 2, 3 today, and you will reach a billion when you are 100 years old. That's a large number. And we'll tell you. That is a fantastically large number. That is a number that you will never see if you have a real virus infection. Those viruses that may come from the lung and get into the bloodstream, we look at 100,000 or maybe a million, which is a million times less. All right. But these packages go into the bloodstream, into the lymph nodes, into the lymphatic system, and spread throughout the body. Now, the trouble about these lymphatic, packaged genes is that they are not seen by the immune system. Even if you have antibodies against the spike protein, which is not there, they can't stop these lipid particles. It's a big difference. So what happens? They go into the bloodstream, and the first cells that they contact, these are the Trojan horses, are taken up by the cells that they contact, and these cells start to make the product, which is the spike protein, okay? Now, guys, something that your government officials and your medical authorities simply have never learned. Now, when politicians don't know this, forgive them. Bow, or they know not what they do. But if medical authorities don't know this, you cannot forgive them. Because this is in the textbook of immunology that every student of medicine must learn. And I am so astounded that medics around the world don't know this. This is not my discovery. This was discovered by Nobel Prize winners 50 years ago, 60 years ago. Listen, I told you, if you make a protein, this protein is going to be placed on the windowsill for detection by the immune system. Now, if the protein here in black belongs to you, it's a self protein, your immune system is not going to fight it. It's going to leave your cell in peace. But if this protein is red, it's foreign. It does not belong to your chromosome. It does not derive from your chromosome. God made. You know, I'm a Buddhist, but as a Buddhist, I will still speak to you as a brother, and I will speak about God, because God gave you your genes, and God determined at the beginning of evolution that if your cell makes a foreign protein, like a protein coming from a virus, that cell is going to be destroyed by your immune system, which is, are these circles on the right. You have these cells. Every baby that is born in the world has these cells that are going to kill virus-infected cells. And that is why when you send your child to the kindergarten, it gets a virus, it gets ill, the virus infects the child's cells. These cells are going to be killed. And then the factory is destroyed. No more viruses can be made. And therefore your child is healthy again. Gets up, no fever, no cough, nothing. And the fantastic thing about this is that the immune reaction gets stronger and stronger with every bout of training. So when the next virus comes in, the next COVID virus, these viruses have been with us since the beginning of time. Nothing new about these COVID viruses, except that this last virus was made by Chinese Americans in the lab, but it's still a COVID virus. And these COVID viruses are all recognized. That's what I've been saying for 3.5 years, and writing, my wife and I wrote this in the book that appeared in October 2020, that everyone in the world was already immunized against this new virus because it was not really new. Okay? It's like when a child is born, it's a new being, but it's still human. Now, these guys in America and China, they are able to make new human beings, but they are still humans. And, you know, the coronavirus that is created in the Wuhan is still a coronavirus, and it is still recognized by the immune system. Now, the wonderful thing is this. 60 years ago, when I started to study medicine, I started 60 years ago. We did not know at that time, is this ability to recognize foreign protein to recognize non-self given at birth, or is it created during childhood? Meaning, you know, you have the immune system, which is here, and you have a virus, which is here. Does the immune system recognize a virus protein because the protein is there first and molds the hands of the antibodies? Or are the different hands of antibodies that are molded against different viruses already there when you are born? Hmm. And the discovery was made 60 years ago, 50 to 60 years ago. These hands that grab the viruses and the virus fragments are there at birth, just by chance. So the dear Lord, these hands evolved during the last months of a child in the mother's womb. And these are the clones of the lymphocytes that house in your whole body. They are there ready to jump up and recognize any foreign protein that gets into your blood and circulation and body. This is just simply amazing, isn't it? But it's true. And this has been proven. And that's why New Zealand, Australia, guys with a brain, don't believe these people who say you need a vaccination. You don't need a vaccination against any virus in the world. Because you already have, clones of soldiers in your lymph nodes ready to stand up and fight any virus. Now, there's one exception, mind you, and that is a virus that gets into the bloodstream and gets to its target very quickly. Which virus is this? Do you know?
Deep state virus.
What?
The virus of the deep state.
No, there is a real virus. There is a real virus that can do rabies.
Rabies, ah, okay.
Okay, that is why the vaccination against rabies is the one virus vaccination that works. You have to realize this. It's very important, all right? But the others do not work. They have never worked, they have never been shown to work. There have never been any clinical studies that have shown any other viral vaccine to work. Never forget what I say. And you don't need it because you have the immunity against these viruses. With rabies, the problem is you don't have the time because that rabies virus gets from the bite into the blood and reaches its destination so fast that your immune system does not have time to make the antibody, which is weak, okay? Which is weak. The same is with tetanus. That's why the tetanus vaccination is good, okay? Now, let me come, I think we should end soon, in 10 minutes, I believe.
Yep.
Next slide, please.
Yeah.
The next slide is back to the first. DNA is the matrix for RNA, and RNA causes the production protein. Now, how did these guys who mass produced the COVID vaccine and are mass producing other RNA vaccines right now, this very minute, where did they get the DNA from? Were they human chromosomes? Were they synthetic chromosomes, artificial, like made from a printing press?
Hmm.
Printing press. Today it's possible to make DNA from a printing press, like Gutenberg, you know? We could print DNA. now, the astounding fact is, for the first application with humans, that was in July 2020, BioNTech Pfizer made the DNA from a printing press. Okay? Then they were able to make RNA, and then they packaged this RNA in this lipid particle. But before they did that, they destroyed the DNA. The pages could be ripped and separated from the RNA. Am I making myself clear?
Yep, you are actually.
So that this RNA contained very, very little DNA contaminant. And therefore, authorization was issued by the FDA, by the EMA, by all the authorities in the world. However, printing DNA is an expensive business. All right, if you want to print a book, it's expensive. It is not possible to make billions of these DNA molecules or trillions by printing them from a printing press. So, what did Pfizer, BioNTech, and Moderna do? They resolved to another process, which is called process swap 2. And there they used nature and they used DNA from bacteria. So-called plasmids are mini chromosomes from bacteria that can be isolated and stored in quantity. They're completely stable. And you can then make a DNA print from a printing press, just one page, and insert it into a chromosome of the bacteria, then return this chromosome into the bacteria and let the bacteria multiply in culture, 5,000 liters. Then out of one bacterium with one or two or three plasmids, you will get countless numbers of bacteria, and they will have reproduced that chromosome. Because with every, you know, when a bacteria divides, it multiplies its chromosomes. And so while these pages of life, the pages encoding the spike protein, were being reproduced in bacterial mass culture for 4 days, that's all you need. After 4 days, you have so many DNA matrices that you can start immunizing the whole world with them, because put this another fermenter, you put the right enzymes in, and gene technology, lo and behold, you can make RNA from this DNA that has been taken out of billions and trillions of bacteria. And you package them and plunge them into the world population. That is what happened. So in fact, the process for producing the RNA that was injected into hundreds of millions of people, including New Zealand, was never authorized because the authorities never, never took the trouble of finding out whether the DNA had been removed from the RNA so that you would receive a shot without the bacterial DNA. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. Next slide, please. Because if the DNA had not been removed, then not only the RNA would be packaged in these lipid nanoparticles, the Trojan horses, the DNA would also be delivered into your body and the body of your loved one. What in God's name does that mean? It means that this DNA would have the propensity and would definitely be taken up by your body cell, because the cells don't know whether the RNA is in there or the DNA, right? Next slide, please. Could it be that the DNA would then be taken up by your cell, the cell of the blood vessels, the cell of your liver, the cell of your brain, the cell of your heart? And then this cell would come under attack by the immune system, because that DNA would be telling the cell, make the spike. And the difference is, of course, that the DNA is long-lived. If the DNA can reach your nucleus, and now, dear New Zealand, my dear friends, ask your authorities, can they tell you that the jab that is being given to the present day to your children, your loved one, does not contain DNA? Or are you telling us what the rest of the world is saying, the rest of the political world and the medical authorities in Germany, in this country? I will not use a word to describe this country anymore, because it's living hell here. It's hell, like you are also in hell. Why? Because you don't do anything about it. You better get up. You know what the German authorities say? They say, well, even if there were a bit of DNA, so what? That DNA would never be taken up by the cells. You're eating, you know, bread and butter every day and meat, and there are tons of bacteria in there. No, they're not tons. And the DNA will never get into your body cells. What they don't tell you is that this DNA is reaching the bloodstream and the lymphatic system and is encased in lipid nanoparticles that make it you can't destroy it. Indestructible. And second, these Trojan horses cause the cells to take them up, so they will be delivered. Oh, well, see, the German authorities. But after uptake in a cell, the DNA will immediately be destroyed. Everyone knows, every child knows that DNA that is taken up in a cell cannot survive. Where they got that from, I do not know, because this is in no textbook in medicine. But if you go and ask the German authorities, where can you show? Well, don't worry. Your nucleus is what these foreign genes have to reach, otherwise they cannot function. But your nucleus is walled in by a membrane, and this membrane is impenetrable. No foreign DNA can ever get from the cytosol into the nucleus. Anyone who says this is stupid, like Bucky. Okay? Now, guys, anyone who has studied biology knows that the moment a cell divides, the nucleus membrane dissolves, and anything that's in the cytosol can come to lie beside your chromosomes.
So basically, we've got an international criminal cabal that's hell-bent and has been a war of humanity now for well over 200 years, some would say centuries, longer than that. They're out to get you. I think transhumanism is, at the end of the day, the end goal. Like the doctor said, altering your DNA, make you something you're not. And of course, anything that's been altered then becomes property of whoever created that new biological entity. So you're going to be owned, farmed. Those useless eaters, they no longer deem relevant. You're resigned to the grave. Those others, they will keep you around just long enough to keep their machinery going as they upload themselves into a synthetic body, and you'll be there to keep their mechanisms alive. So there's a great cull on humanity. There's only one side doing all the killing. All the rest of you guys are waiting, waving your arms around, sending in petitions, protests, placards, and letters to the editor. None of it's working, never has, never will. So something more decisive has to be done, as far as I'm concerned, to save your children.
Yeah, well, maybe we can ask the good doctor, what do you think people can do, right? Because now we're seeing, like you're talking about, you know, infertility, you know, aborted fetuses very early on, so many pregnancies being lost, turbo cancers, the rise in myocarditis, pericarditis, all these really horrific side effects, premature death, all of that. And people are still denying that this is happening due to the jabs. I mean, how do we get through to people, and what do we think the individuals at home can do now?
Well, don't talk too much. It's clear now that because it's known that these vials are contaminated with DNA, and this is not allowed in medicine. You cannot inject DNA contaminated substances into the bodies. It's not allowed. So stop it. And demand from your authorities that they should stop it. Otherwise, file a suit against them. If they cannot show you data that proves that they have looked at this, but of course, whenever they look at a single vial, they will find it, because there is no way, cost effective, okay, to get rid of this massive bacterial DNA contamination. And therefore, each injection is a crime. You are not allowed to inject something into the body of a hapless person that is potentially dangerous. And there's nothing to discuss. Nothing.
We've had a number of lawsuits in this country, and it seems anyone, because this government...
Sorry. Lawsuits because of the DNA?
No, lawsuits over the jab, full stop, everything, from isolation, purification.
No, you, that cannot be used. What can be used now is the DNA contamination. That's the real big opening, because there, it's international law. You can't do it. You don't have to prove anything. You don't have to prove that this has caused harm. Don't have to. You are not allowed to inject an injectable that is contaminated.
Has anybody filed a lawsuit around the world yet based on this argument?
No. The Swiss are trying to do it. And tomorrow, you go online, the suit against SwissMedic will be online tomorrow at 12 o'clock. Okay? And this lawsuit is brilliant. It's just brilliant. It contains everything. And that is the first one. I can tell you that Thailand is trying to do the same. And we are going to concentrate on the DNA. Okay?
It's very good.
So,
and are these, you know, your colleagues, are they medical practitioners taking these cases forward, or?
No. The lawyers have to do this, but they're doing it with the support of the medics, of course.
Yes, yeah.
Like in Thailand, there's a panel of medical professionals, including some of the most well-known and the most... distinguished scientists at the Bangkok University, and they're meeting with lawyers tomorrow, because it's become completely clear. And I say with a little bit of pride that my Thai compatriots have been right at the forefront of all of this from the very beginning. Marge, other than New Zealand and Australia, fallen back so far, and Germany. Mm. But Thailand has been really at the front. And the other country that is at the front is Japan, as you may know. Okay? So we will see what there's to see. You know, there is no reason for a country that calls itself democratic, like New Zealand, Australia, not to act. And I can just say to you, all of you, there are 5 million of you who are voting. Is that right? How many people vote?
It's got 2.1, I think. 2.13 is all that votes.
2.1?
Yeah, 2.1 to 3 million.
Only?
Yeah. And but most of them are brainwashed and well and truly up the government. So far up the government's rear end, you can only see issues.
You know, brainwashing is not irreversible. We are trying to tell them the other side of the story. Mm. And at some time, the suffering reaches a point where people say, now, wait a moment, okay? Why did my darling die? Why is he or she so ill? And we know this is the case. We know that in the brain there are islands of death. It's all documented. Why do people age so fast after vaccination? Why do they lose their brain and their mind and their personality? It's all known. And at one stage, these people will start to vote against the people that they used to vote for. So what I'm trying to say is, look, when is your next election, actually?
We've only recently come out of one, so we've basically just delivered another globalist puppet regime that's going to make us hell for the next 3 years.
So about 2.5 years away.
Another 2.5 years before we get to kick these guys out. The problem is we don't have a democracy. We've got to get that straight right now. Democracy is an illusion. We vote once every 3 years, and then we do not get another say at all. They basically do whatever the hell they want.
Okay. So New Zealand is in a very bad state. I'm sorry to say so. And I'm sorry for you, because you are at their mercy and they have no mercy. They have no mercy, as we all know. They're out to fill their own pockets. And as we all know, all of this comes from England and America, all of this. It's England, America from the start. And England with all its ex-colonies to which we belong. So if we can't topple England and America, the best thing is to leave New Zealand. You've got to escape.
Yeah, but where do we go?
Russia.
No, come to Thailand.
Yeah, that's good, actually.
You will see in the next months what's, I hope, is going to happen in Thailand. And we're going to show you how to do it. Because, you know, we talk all the time, the Thais, and across the continent, because I'm in North Germany, as you know. And the Thais are all up now. They know. And they're going to go to the authorities. Actually, the authorities themselves have admitted that they know that they should step back now and stop this vaccination. It's just the head. It's just the head who refuses to do so. But he is going to be charged now. And if they don't stop this vaccination, what I'm saying is that Thailand has the possibility of annulling the purchase contract with Pfizer.
Brilliant. That's what we want.
Fraudulent and dilating. That's, you know, the title of the letter. This is the urgent letter to the world that you have.
Yeah.
Now, the trouble is this. There are such things as state contracts. You know about this?
The state contract with the... you mean with the actual
purchasing agreement
with the company, and how they're not allowed to bring like Pfizer into disrepute, and there's a lot of secrecy around those contracts?
Yes. The state contracts can be signed by Pfizer and nations like New Zealand.
Yeah.
And if a contract was signed, the state contract gives legal protection to Pfizer.
Yeah, that's right. Indemnity.
But this is above national law. It's above national law.
Exactly.
So, do you know about this actually?
Yep.
So the fraud, when a contract is fraudulently created, it's null and void? Or based on fraud? Based on a fraud? Is that what you mean?
No. Okay, I'm going to read something to you. Sorry.
Okay.
Let me get this book.
Excellent. Well, it's very fascinating stuff, isn't it? Certainly with the Swiss, what they're going to be doing, Calvin.
And well, we've been calling for the Pfizer contract now from the beginning. We're saying, show us the unredacted Pfizer contract, because we know that the government knew ahead of time there was no safety or efficacy in any of it. They agreed to that, and they agreed not to bring them into disrepute. Otherwise, there was a financial...
No,
something else.
No, I'm talking about our contract here.
All right. In 1965... Okay, an international center for settlement of investment disputes was created. Do you know anything about this?
No,
I don't know anything about this. No.
New information, people, pay attention.
You better look this up. International Center for Settlement of Investment Disputes, ICSID, created in 1965. It belongs. This international center belongs to the World Bank. Okay?
Okay.
And what is it there for? It's there to settle international disputes, if there are any. What are international disputes? They are created, they can come to be, if a state contract is signed. A state contract is a contract between, let's say, Pfizer and New Zealand, or Pfizer and Thailand. Got it? With each nation. If this state contract is signed, okay, hold on now. Corporations can attain international legal protection for their contracts with foreign sovereigns. So if New Zealand says we're going to buy, okay, so and so many millions, hundreds of millions, dollars, that's a contract, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
And then they have legal protection, meaning that under this aegis, their contracts become international legal instruments with priority over later in time conflicting national law, including public law and regulation. Did you get this? Meaning that if New Zealand says, no, this is not in line with public law and regulation, medical regulation, they can sue New Zealand. Okay.
Yeah.
And they do. They have done this over the last 50 years, thousands of times against nations, mainly in South America, Argentina, Venezuela, Peru, and Mexico. And these nations have been forced to pay billions of dollars to these companies. Now, who decides whether they win or lose? It's this International Center for Settlement of Investment Disputes that belongs to the World Bank. And the judges are not known. They're anonymous.
This is not sounding very favorable to us.
Especially when you add in the World Health Organization and their pandemic treaty for future ones to override sovereign borders. That's another worrisome aspect.
Look. This, what I told you, would explain why countries around the globe are doing nothing including New Zealand.
Yeah.
Because if they did it, and Pfizer would sue you, you would be forced, the New Zealand taxpayers would be forced to shove that money into the wallets of Pfizer and Bill Gates and whatever you want, WHO. And they would, and that's it. And so they would have their money anyway, you see. Now, the great thing about this, I can tell you, as a Thai, is that we found out that Thailand did not sign this contract.
Brilliant.
Wow.
That is interesting.
Brilliant. It's more than interesting because Thailand did not sign, and I am sure that many other countries, third world, or let's say belong to the world that they did not think of. They didn't believe that Thailand would ever stand up and do anything about this, okay? Of course, New Zealand and Australia, they signed it, I'm sure.
Yes, and you have signed it.
What?
New Zealand definitely signed it. We know that for an absolute fact.
Well, that's why you better leave New Zealand and come to Thailand.
Can see foot.
Doesn't sound too bad.
Yeah.
Well, we are really running close to the edge of time now. I mean, is there any other important information that you think New Zealanders need to know right now?
I'll tell you what, New Zealand just got a lesson there in not only microbiology, but rational, logical, common sense reasoning as well. And this should be sent everywhere. I think you've pretty much just laid the icing on the cake. This will have reverberations all over the place. You'll find a lot of people starting to reassess their positions in New Zealand, because we've had a corrupt government for a hell of a long time. They're just better way at hiding it than most of the other countries who admit it.
And we'll be watching Switzerland and...
Yeah, Switzerland, 12 o'clock.
The doctors here and the lawyers really ought to look at that and the... The DNA that is in these vaccines
DNA
that shouldn't be, that is actually breaking medical protocols. This is a huge...
And international law.
Yeah, and international law. So, I mean, this could be really a way to bring it down and stop it.
That's what I think.
All right. Well, it's worth giving it a go, I think. So thank you so much, Sutrit Bhakti, for joining us. You're a wonderful doctor. You're an absolute hero to us here at Counterspin and so many people in New Zealand. And we cannot thank you and your wife enough for everything that you've done for not only us, but the future generations as well.
Bless all of you.
Thank you so much.
Excellent.
You are watching Counterspin, New Zealand's media revolution. The platform where truth lives and the government and bought and paid for media lies come to die. Find us at counterspinmedia.com. My dream of Cindy. This teleplay is based on a dream, but one we all wish we never needed to have. Any resemblance of the characters to any person living or dead is purely coincidental.
And now that I have gotten the virtual signalling out of the way, I have a confession to make. My time as New Zealand Prime Minister was a complete bust. I made millions of dollars pushing the Pfizer jabs onto 90% of the useless eaters. I lied and I cheated, but I made it happen. That was because I was granted the honour of being the single source of truth. However, I have a further confession to make. My words weren't the truth, but by Satan, it made me fucking rich. In New Zealand, the real source of truth is Kelvin Alp, Hannah Spearer, and the team at Counterspin Media. If you want to know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, do not listen to me. Instead, listen to Counterspin Media at counterspinmedia.com. And while you're there, make a huge donation to help relieve me of my guilt. Go to counterspinmedia.com.
Counterspinmedia.com, where lies come to die.
Hi guys, to continue to bring you high quality, evidence-based, factual content like today, Counterspin is reliant on your donations. So please visit their website. There's multiple ways of making donations. And remember, at Counterspin is where lies die. but truth prevails.
Keep checking back on counterspinmedia.com and look under the videos tab for more videos from the Conquering Darkness Truthathon.
Counterspinmedia.com, where lies come to die.